So this evening I want to lead us in reflecting on Psalm 1. And I'm going to divide it into three little sections. And the first one, we're going to look at direction. And just looking at verse 1, direction. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. The Psalms, as you know, are full of different kinds of Psalms. They're Psalms of praise, Psalms of confession, Psalms of lament, royal Psalms, Psalms of the individual, Psalms of community. And you probably haven't thought about this, but why does the Psalter begin with Psalm 1? You maybe say, well, it does. It just does. It begins with Psalm 1. But actually, the folks who compiled the Psalms, they would have had a whole list of Psalms in front of them when they were bringing them together. And they would have made a decision to start the Psalter with one of those Psalms, whether they had 50 of them or all 150 in front of them. They had to make a decision as to what would be Psalm number 1. And they decided on this one. And I think maybe why they've decided on this one is because it sets out in broad brush terms two ways. The way of blessedness and flourishing, or the way of disobedience and perishing. If you note, the first word of the first verse is blessed. The last word of the last verse is perish. And these are the two ways that this psalm sets before us. It speaks truth to us. It speaks about fundamentals. It speaks about two ways to live. And it reminds me a little bit about what Jesus said in Matthew 7. Where he said, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. So here in the Psalter, we have a kind of illustration in the Old Testament of what Jesus has said. It's setting before us the narrow way of blessedness and flourishing, and it's setting before us the broad way that leads to perishing. And it kind of raises for us the question, which way will you go? And the Psalms, the other 149 Psalms, will speak about these two ways. The other 149 Psalms will have peaks and troughs and valleys and mountains and times when people who are praying the Psalms feel blessed and times when they feel as if they're perishing. There's a direction our lives need to go in. Which will it be? Will it be in a blessed direction? I think I've given you before a little definition, a child's definition of the word blessed, and it sounds like the child's definition of a lift. I got into this room and the upstairs came down. And that's almost what we're asking for, is that the blessedness of heaven would come down into our hearts. So there's a direction here we see. And in the first verse we see here the direction is negative. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the wicked, who does not stand in the way of sinners, or does not sit in the seat of mockers. There's almost a regression here. Rather than a progression, there is a regression. And the psalmist is saying, be careful that you're not, first of all, walking in the way of the wicked. Try and walk in the way of the righteous. And then there's this regression where you start off by walking, but then suddenly you stop and you begin to listen a bit more to what they're saying, so you stand. And then there's another regression, because as you stand, then you like what you hear and you sit. And you listen to the folly of the world. So in other words, the psalmist is finding a way to say the blessed person will avoid the totality of evil and godlessness. The counsel of the wicked is always coming at us, but we must resist it. I mean, some of what I'm saying tonight, in a sense, follows on from this morning as we reflected on the tide of the world and the currents of the world, which are constantly drifting and getting us to drift away from God and from church and from God's Word. And we are living in a time, especially in this Western culture, where so much of the drift of culture is away from God, and we are beginning to call evil good and good evil. And so the pressures are quite overwhelming on ordinary people, and especially on younger people today. The pressures to conform, and amongst our friends, amongst our families even, as well as the TV and media. I love this. A woman who is 104 years old was asked in an interview, what was so good about being 104? And she said, no peer pressure. The peer pressure on us today is incredible, isn't it? Especially for young people. The peer pressure to go against what Jesus says in his word. So the church needs to be not only a place of worship, it needs to be a place that helps us to direct our thoughts, to guide us, to see that our faith is strong, that our faith is reasonable, that our faith is true. And while we may not have all the answers this side of heaven to the questions that people ask, we want to be people of faith who stand strong, who resist the direction of wickedness and sinning and mocking against God. And so the psalm begins with getting us to reflect on what is the overall direction of our lives. Are we paying attention to the wisdom of Christ or the folly of the world? What is the direction of your life? Let's just spend a moment in quiet thoughtfulness, and then I'll lead us in prayer as we ask ourselves this question. What is the direction of our lives? Are we moving towards blessedness, or are we influenced by evil? Father, we pray this evening that our hearts would be open to your Spirit and to hear your word and to follow your ways. Help us, O God, as we reflect this evening on the direction of our lives. Our prayer would be that the direction would be Godward, that the direction of our lives would be honoring of you. We do not want to do what this psalm says. We don't want to walk in the counsel of the wicked. We don't want to follow the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers and scoffers and those who are cynical about the things of God. We want to walk in a different direction. We want our lives to be filled with your light and your life. We want to be countercultural. We want to be different. We don't want to go with the flow that is deadly. So, Father, we pray today as we enter a new week for your grace. We pray for courage. We pray also for a winsomeness as we declare your word and as we seek to live out your truth, that people will see Christ in us and the difference that he makes. So, Father, we pray, as we reflect on this psalm, that the direction of our lives would be God-honoring, for that is the way of flourishing and not perishing. For the sake of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, we move on to the second section. As Neil said, we're talking about delighting. And in verses 2 and 3, the psalmist leads us to the delight of the law. His delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. So one of the best ways of dealing with not going in the godless or the unrighteous or the wrong direction is to delight in God's law, in God's word. I tend to work from the premise that we tend to do what we really want to do. And so we need to train ourselves to want God more. And one of the best ways of doing that is to immerse ourselves in God's word. This morning we were thinking about how do we go against the flow, how do we go against the direction of the world. We need to immerse ourselves in God's word, reading a little bit of God's word every day. It's a bit like taking vitamin pills. You don't take too much of them, you just take a little every day, but it just builds and it builds and it builds and it makes a difference. When we're making the law of the Lord our delight, when we're constantly reading it and meditating on it and studying it and applying it, then it trains us in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." John Piper says, "The point is that the only hope against the wrong pleasures of the world are the pleasures of the Word." And just like the pleasures of the world are awakened by looking at them long enough, so the pleasures of the Word are awakened in the regenerate soul by looking at them long enough, day and night. And so the psalmist says, we must meditate on God's law. Meditate day and night on the instruction of God in the Psalms, and delight will be awakened. That is what the Psalms are designed to do. The more you eat something, the more you develop a taste for it. I used to hate olives, but now I'm eating them more and I'm getting the taste for them. Still prefer meat, but olives, I can eat them okay. That's the way it works. The less you eat of something, the less you have a taste for it or a desire for it. And so it is with God's word. The more we immerse ourselves in it, the psalmist says, we will be like a tree planted by streams of water. This is a great picture of flourishing. It's a picture of stability. We will be like a tree planted. A tree that is planted is stable. We will have a vitality because we are by streams of water, which feed us and refresh us. So there is stability, there is vitality, there is productivity. It yields its fruit in season, and our lives will be fruitful in God's purposes because they are planted in God's word, which is our delight. And then there is durability because we see that the leaf does not wither. Whatever we do prospers. Now this is broad brush again, because sometimes it may seem as if our lives are not vital or stable or flourishing, but that is the overall direction, the overall, pardon me, delight in God as we prosper together. It is an attractive picture, and it's meant to be attractive, because this is what the believer's life should be like. This is what we need. Our greatest resource for growing in godliness is the Word of God, so do not ignore it. Feed upon it. May it be like honey to us, sweet to our taste. So let's just pause for a moment and let's reflect on the place of God's word in our lives each day. Are we stable like a tree? Are we vital, planted by streams? Are we yielding fruit in season? Because our delight is in the law of the Lord. Let's just again pause in silence and reflect on God's word in our lives. Father, we thank you for your word, which is precious and life-giving and true. And Father, we pray that our lives would be opened up to you so that this word becomes a stream, a life-giving stream through our thinking, our meditating, and our acting. Father, we recognize that we need more and more of your word in our lives so that it directs us in a world that is lost and perishing. We want to be planted in your purposes. We want the roots of our lives to go deep into you through your word. And we want to get that refreshment that comes as we read your word every morning and maybe in the evening. And we pray, Lord, that as we do that, may it just help us to think aright. And Father, this evening, if there are any of us, and the Bible is a closed book to us, we pray that you would give us that taste for it, that we'll begin to open the pages, that we begin to read, and that by your Holy Spirit, you will give us the desire to read more of it. So help us to begin, maybe even tomorrow morning, to start with your word, maybe even again with this psalm, and just to reflect on it and all that it is offering to us. The stability, the vitality, the durability, the productivity that comes from being immersed in your word. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. So may we be word-shaped people. And again, we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our final D is destiny. If our general direction is Godward, if we are delighting in God's word, then our destiny will be good and positive. We'll not be like the wicked. The psalmist describes them as being like chaff. Where a tree is substantial, chaff is light. It's not good for anything. Where a tree produces fruit that is good, chaff isn't good for anything. And so what we need to be aiming for as we delight in God's word is that we have that stability and that glory, if you like, the weightiness of a life well lived. Do we want our lives to be described as chaff or dust? Or do we want our lives to be lived in such a way that they're substantial, that they have weight? Now, every human being is made in the image of God. Every human being has the potential to live a life that is weighty and prosperous and fruitful in God's eyes. And the way that we give our lives weight, firstly, is to come as wicked people, because in a sense, all of us are wicked. We come as wicked people, and we invite Christ in to give us new priorities. The psalm ends by saying that there will be judgment, but the wicked will not stand in this judgment. The sinners will not enter the assembly of the righteous. The fire of God will fall and will burn up anything that is lightweight or chaff. But those who have delighted in God, whose direction is righteous, will live. Again, as we examine our lives, which do we want to be? Again, in the Psalms, in Psalm 92, we read these words. In Psalm 93, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock,
and there is no wickedness in him. Let's pray.
Lord, we want our destiny to be eternal. As you weigh our lives, we do not want to be seen as light, as wicked, but to live a life that is substantial, a life that is guided by you and your word, a life which is full of fruit. Help us to be those kind of people, blessed and living a blessed life. For our good and for the glory of God, we pray. Amen.